Now I need 6 volunteers to come and help me. Come on. Oh, let's have a look at these Easter eggs that you found. Who's going to have a look at number one? You're going to open number one for me. See what we can find in that. We want to try and put the Easter story together. So let's have a look at this one first of all. Now, what's in there?
A cross.
A cross reminds us, let's put it up on the screen, see what we're talking about? The cross reminds us of the death of Jesus, doesn't it? It reminds us just how much God loves us. That's part of the Easter story. Let's just keep that there for a minute. Who's going to have a look at number two? Let's see now. Number two. Count. Oh, you're all very eager. Okay, let's have a look at number two. See if you can pull that open and see what's in that one. What have we got in there?
Nails.
Nails, yeah. Nails are kind of part of the Easter story, aren't they? Probably not a great part of the Easter story. It's kind of not a very nice part because it's the part where Jesus died, isn't it? Think about Jesus dying on the cross. Nails remind us. Okay, number three. What have we got? Who's number three? You're all very, very excited about this morning. Let's have a look at number three. See what we can find in there. What's that?
A stone.
A stone. What do you think that's got to do with the Easter story?
The tomb.
The tomb, that's right. Big stone. We heard the rabbit, didn't we, telling us about the stone a few minutes ago. But the stone was rolled in front of the tomb after Jesus died. Who's going for number four? Oh, number four. Okay, this is all falling apart already, okay? So you're looking at number four for me. Do you want me to hold your basket while you do that? I'll not eat your Easter eggs. Are these all your Easter eggs? Very successful Easter egg hunt here. Look at that. Very good. What's that then? A bit of cloth. What's that got to do with the Easter story, do you think? Yes? Who's going to tell me? Yes?
I think wrapping him in cloth.
Wrapping the body of Jesus up. Isn't that right? When they went to the empty tomb, all they found was the cloth all folded up that had been used to wrap up Jesus' body. So that's an important part of the story. Okay, you can have your Easter eggs back. I wouldn't like to be accused of stealing those. Now, number five, it's your turn, isn't it? Let's have a look at number five. Can we hold those eggs for you? You're very trusting of me up here, I have to say. What's that? What do you think that is? Let's have a look at it. What do you think that is?
Light.
Yes, it's a light, isn't it? It's out of a torch, really. It's a bulb, lots of bulbs, actually. Can you think of anything to do with bright lights in the Easter story? The angels, that's right, yes. The angels came to the tomb. Actually, they gave the women who came to the tomb a real fright when they arrived. So we've got the light bulb reminding us of the brightness of the angels. Shall I give you your chocolate eggs back? Because that's a much better swap for an old light bulb, isn't it? And number six, who's left? Who hasn't opened one yet? Okay, here we go, number six. Let's see what's in number six. What's in there?
Empty.
Empty. Now, what's that got to do with the Easter story? Yes?
Jesus rose from them and there was no one there.
And the grave was empty. That's absolutely right. You've got that so right. Thank you so much for helping me. Do you want to go and sit down for a minute? Okay, thank you. Brilliant. Now, we're going to read together from the Bible where some of this story is found. So we're going to all read it out loud together this morning. Luke 24:1-8. So we can all read it out loud together. This is an amazing part of the Easter story. So let's read it out loud together. Are we ready? But very early on Sunday morning, they took the ointments to the tomb and they found that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in, but the Lord Jesus' body was gone. They stood there puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it. Suddenly, two men appeared before them, clothed in shining robes so bright that their eyes were dazzled. The women were terrified and they bowed low before them. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has come back to life again. Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Messiah must be betrayed into the power of evil men and be crucified and that he would rise again the third day." Then they remembered. Wow, what a story. We're going to explore that story this morning because the Easter story is all about new beginnings and new starts. Oh, there we go. Now, let's see if we can find another picture in there. Let's pop that down there for a minute. Now, can you hold this up for me? This is a picture from, you can hold that for me, from the marketplace. Now, the marketplace is a very interesting place in Jesus' day. Lots of things happen in marketplaces, a bit like they do in our marketplaces. Things were sold and bought. But if you got yourself into lots of debt and you owed lots of money, you might have to take yourself to the marketplace and you might have to sell yourself so that you could actually pay for your debts. And then you'd become a slave. And the only way that you could be, the only way that you could not be a slave is if somebody paid to set you free. And that's what the Bible says Jesus did for us. In fact, if you turn it over, let's just turn this round here, and we'll see what it says on the other side. Okay? What does that say on the other side? Shall we read it out loud together? Ransomed. Okay, and here's what the Bible says to us. The Bible says to us, for this is Jesus speaking, even the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, the Easter story is great news for the followers of Jesus, because it means that we can be, let's read that out loud again, we can be forgiven, and it means that we can be ransomed. Okay, do you want to sit down on the step here for me? That's brilliant. And you just hold that up so that, because you see, adults forget things very easily. Okay, so you hold that up, okay, so that we don't forget. Right, number three, the third picture. Let's see what we can find in this one here. Here we go. Oh, here we go. The third picture is a picture of a courtroom. So, courtroom, okay. Now, I've been in a courtroom once or twice. Not as a criminal, okay. I need to let you know that, okay. But I've been on a jury. Actually, it's quite a scary place to be, a courtroom. Let's just put the picture up on the screen so that we can all see what's going on behind me here. The courtroom. There we go. And the Bible uses the courtroom to tell us something else about the death of Jesus. It actually tells us that because of Jesus' death, it says that we can be, now you can turn it around, okay? It's quite a big word, this one, actually.
Justified.
Wow, I've got the right person up here this morning, haven't I? Justified is quite a difficult word to explain, really. So I thought I'd tell a story, actually, because this is what the Bible says to us. The Bible says to us that we have all sinned. That means we're all guilty before God. And yet, through the death of Jesus, God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus, who in his kindness freely takes away our sins. Now, I heard a great story the other day that might help us to understand this big word. Can you turn that around so that we see the word again on this side? That's it. You just hold it there for 1 minute, okay? I heard a story of two boys who went to the same school, and they grew up together, and they left school, and one of the guys went into a life of crime, and the other guy went into the legal system, became a judge, and then later on in his life, when he was a judge and when he was in court, this boy that he grew up with in school ended up in front of him as a criminal. And because he was a judge and because this guy had done something wrong, it was important that this man be punished for what he did wrong, even though this man was his friend. So the judge fined his friend £20,000 because he'd done things that were wrong. And then something really unusual happened. The judge took off his gown and he walked around and he stood in the dock where his friend was standing, took out his checkbook and he wrote a check for £20,000 so that his friend could go free. Now that's what Jesus has done for us. God says that we've done things that are wrong, but through the death of Jesus and we trust in Jesus, Jesus stands in the place that we should be and takes the punishment that we deserve. So that's what justified is all about. Well done. Now, let's have a look at the fourth picture and see where we're getting to with this one here. So, justified. Let's do a bit of reminding, shall we, for a minute. Do you want to sit down for a second? Oh, let's hold up these words again, okay? All right, we ready? So we've got that one and that one. Okay, can you hold them up high? So, because of the death of Jesus, we are forgiven, we are ransomed, we are justified. Right, we've got one more picture to look at. Are you ready? Bang on cue. Fantastic. Let's have a look at this one then. Let's go this way first, okay? The picture of a, what's that picture of? A family. I love this story in the Bible. Jesus told this story of a boy who left home. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And he walked out on his father and he took all the good things that his father had and he went and he squandered everything that his father had given to him and he wasted everything, all the gifts that his father had given to him. And then there comes a point in the story where he kind of comes to his senses, really, and he decides life's much better off back with his father. So he turns around and he heads back to his father. And Jesus told us that story because the father is like God, and we're like the little boy, the teenager who runs out, if you like, and takes all the good things that God gives to us. And the Bible says to us, through the death of Jesus, and here it is on the screen, now you've been united with Christ. Once you were far away, but now, through the death of Jesus, you have been brought near. So let's just turn that around. And what does that say?
Found.
Okay. So, the death of Jesus is all about new beginnings. I wondered if some of you see the poster on the way in this morning on the wall. It says, Easter beginnings, new beginnings. And here's what happens when we become followers of Jesus. Let's hold up our words again, shall we? So, when we become followers of Jesus, when we start a new life with him, hold them up, we become forgiven, we become ransomed, we become justified, we become found. Brilliant. That is so helpful. We're talking about Easter being a time of new beginnings. Okay, you heard about the Easter eggs a little bit earlier on. The empty Easter egg represented the empty tomb. But the whole idea of an egg is that it represents new life and new starts and new beginnings. And that's what the Christian faith is all about. That's why we're celebrating this morning, because Easter is about new beginnings. And here's what we've been learning. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, we are ransomed, we are justified, we are found. Now, if that's part of your experience, that's worth celebrating this morning. But there's even more to it than that. Because when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus, we discover some really exciting things about new starts and new beginnings. And here's the first thing that we discover. We discover that when we become a follower of Jesus, through the death of Jesus, because we've been forgiven and ransomed and justified and we've been found, God rewrites our past. He deals with all the wrong stuff that's in our life and he draws a line right through it. Here's what the Bible says to us. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that fantastic news?
Yeah.
Forgiven, ransomed, justified, found. God puts a line through our sins. He rewrites our past. And how do we know that? We know that because Jesus rose from the dead. And that proves to us that the cross has worked and that Jesus' sacrifice was acceptable to God. One of the last things Jesus cried out from the cross was, "It's finished. It's completed. The job is done." So that's what happens when we come to faith in Christ. God rewrites our past. Something happens in the present as well. Because one of the things that happens, because Jesus is alive, it means that we can know him now. It means that we can encounter him today. It means that we can get to know who he is, because he's not dead, he's alive. And so as we become followers of Jesus Christ, we discover that God moves into our lives by his Spirit and begins to make us more like Jesus, which is amazing news. Great news for me. I hope it's great news for you as well. Because there's all sorts of stuff in our lives, isn't there, that we would prefer wasn't there. And yet when Jesus moves into our lives by his Spirit, he begins to make us more like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be more like Jesus, the perfect man who ever lives. And that's what the Bible says to us. And here's how Jesus puts it. He says, all who love me, those who will become my followers, he says, my Father will love them and we will come. And look what it says next. We will make our home with each of you. Wow. Isn't that great news? And it comes to the Easter story that God moves into our lives and makes his home in our lives. That's part of the resurrection story. Third thing that we discover is that God reshapes our future. You see, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that means that death is not the end of the story. That's why we can celebrate this morning. That's why we can sing. That's why we can shout alleluia. Because we know that because Jesus is alive and because death is defeated, for the followers of Jesus, when they die, death has been defeated. That's great news, isn't it? Brilliant news. And here's what God says, just in case you wonder what it's going to be like after you die as a follower of Jesus. Some people say to me, well, it could be quite boring. I don't really want to float around on a cloud with a harp. The Bible never says that to us, actually. Actually, this is what the Bible says to us about heaven and about God's new creation. It says, no one's ever seen or heard anything like this. never so much as imagined anything quite like it, what God has arranged for those who love him. And actually, I prefer somebody like C.S. Lewis as well. C.S. Lewis is a great writer. We looked at this a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, but here's what he wrote. And some of you children will understand this, because you're on holidays now, is that right? You're on holidays? Yeah? Is it good to be on holidays? Did you look forward to the holidays? So the end of the term comes, doesn't it? And you think, oh, one more day, one more day, one more day, one more day. And then eventually the holidays come and they've arrived. And C.S. Lewis said, that's what it's like when we die as the followers of Jesus. He says, that's what it's going to feel like. And here's what he says. He says, it's going to feel like the term is over, that feeling that we get of excitement, the term being over, and the holiday has begun. The dream has ended, and this is the morning. And what C.S. Lewis is trying to say is what the Bible says. Actually, that God's new creation is going to be even more real than the life that we live and experience now. In fact, he goes on to say that actually, the great chapter that's being written in terms of God's new creation, he says, each chapter is going to be better than the previous one. Imagine having a life like that. Each chapter is better than the previous one. That's how God describes his new creation. So do you reckon this is something worth celebrating today, worth being excited about? New beginnings. Does that excite you this morning?
Yes.
What have we discovered this morning? Here's what we've learnt. That if we become followers of Jesus, we can be forgiven. We can be ransomed. We can be justified. We can be found. That is great news. I found a lovely video clip this week that really got me quite excited about Easter when I saw it. So I'm going to play it to you now and see what you think about it. I hope you sense that excitement. That's how we should feel on Resurrection Sunday. If your phone suddenly beeped now, Jesus is alive, Jesus has risen from the dead. It might be that you're here this morning and you're listening to some of the things that we're saying and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not really that excited about this. Why not? I'd like to be more excited about that. I'd like that experience of being forgiven. I'd love that experience of that line being drawn through my past and God working in my life now and being sure about what happens when I die. Well, one of my favourite characters in the resurrection story is a character called Thomas. And here's what Thomas said. Having heard all of the things that we've been talking about this morning, he said, well, the disciples, first of all, said to Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas is a great illustration, isn't he? How some of us feel a bit like that sometimes. Unless I can be absolutely sure, I'm not going to believe. And you know what happened? God appeared to Thomas. And when Thomas saw the nail marks, he fell down in front of Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. That's how we start to experience what we've been talking about this morning, about being forgiven, about being ransomed, about being justified, about being found, by coming like Thomas does and saying, my Lord and my God. It might well be that for some of us on Resurrection Sunday, you're thinking to yourself, I want this new beginning. I want in on this. You kind of sense the excitement as we've sung this morning, as we've unpacked some of the Easter story, and you're saying to yourself, I want this for me and I want it now. You say, how on earth do I do that? Very simply, like Thomas, we come before Jesus and we say, my Lord and my God. We say to Jesus, sorry for the things that I've done wrong. We say, thank you for dying for me. We say, please come into my life. Make your home in my life by your Spirit. And when we pray a prayer like that, God comes into our lives. And the reality of what we've been speaking about this morning becomes yours. And the new start that we've been celebrating as Christians this morning becomes yours. So let's pray, shall we, as we conclude. Now, this is a prayer that you want to pray because you want to make a new start this morning. Then just pray it quietly as I pray it out loud. And it might be that for some of us here this morning, you've kind of got a bit stuck in your relationship with Jesus. And it doesn't feel so new or so vibrant. And you want to recommit your life to following Jesus. Then pray with me as I pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for taking my place. Thank you for taking the punishment that I deserve. Thank you for standing in the dock instead of me. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I'm sorry for living to please myself rather than for living to please you. And as best I can, I turn from everything which I know to be wrong in my life. Please come into my life and make your home in my life by your Spirit and help me to follow Jesus. So that this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, becomes my new start. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we've got a prayer to finish with, so let's use that prayer on the screen. We've got a couple of prayers from some of our children that we want to read out loud before we finish as well. So here's some prayers from some of our children. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for forgiving our sins. We pray that we will follow you forever. What a lovely prayer. Lord, thank you for sending your own Son to die for our sins. Thank you that he rose again 3 days later. Lord Jesus, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the world. Thank you for people. Thank you for the water. In Jesus' name. Thank you for Easter and forgiving our sins. Thank you that you died on a cross and you rose again. And here's another one. Dear God, thank you for sending the angel to roll away the stone. Isn't that great? Thank you for sending the angel to roll away the stone so that we could see that the tomb was empty and Jesus is alive. A fabulous prayer. So let's use these words that are on the screen as we conclude. It's dark outside. It's bright in here. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's use these words together. May resurrection grasp us and never let us go. May the God of hope and the Son of resurrection and the power of God's Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. If you prayed that prayer this morning and you'd like to know more, or you'd just like to know more, this little booklet at the end of each row.